This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks for listening. That is the fight song of the NFL's Washington Redskins. Hail to the Redskins, which has been used as their fight song for decades now, and every resident of Washington knows the chorus. They may not know the verses, but they certainly know the chorus, and the Redskins marching band plays it every time the Redskins score a touchdown or a field goal. I spent 13 years on the air in Washington, D.C., cheering on the Redskins during their Super Bowl years, and talked about them and never hesitated to say the word. But in recent years, I have started to reconsider, as have a lot of people, like Christine Brennan of USA Today, Peter King of Sports Illustrated, John Smallwood of the Philadelphia Daily News, Tim Graham of the Buffalo News. All of those columnists have stopped using the word Redskins. It has also been banned, well, most recently from the Seattle Times, the San Francisco Chronicle, Slate, the Kansas City Star, Mother Jones, the New Republic, the Oregonian, and even in Washington, the Washington City Paper. However, the word still appears in the pages of the biggest daily newspaper in that city. That, of course, is the Washington Post, where Teresa Vargas works. And this week, she had to write the word several times in a story that she wrote about the Redskins losing their trademark in a decision made at the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. So I've asked her to join me here today to talk about the controversy. Teresa, welcome to America Weekend.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Is it tough for you to write or say the word Redskins?
You know, I will say, you know, it's the paper's policy to use that word as long as the team maintains it. So it is my job to continue writing it at this point.
All right. What is the impact? What has been the fallout, and what will be the impact of what the USPTO decided on Wednesday?
So the reality is that there's no immediate ramifications. So even though they canceled six of the team's trademarks, they remain in effect until the appeal process is exhausted. And we already know that the team does plan to appeal. So at this point, you know, they will remain in effect. I think it's largely a symbolic victory. As we know, there have been, you know, the opposition to this name has just picked up steam and is at an unprecedented level this year. We have religious groups, civil rights groups. We have Native American leaders. We have a lot more groups coming out on this. We have 50 U.S. senators who signed a letter calling for a name change. So I think in that sense, it just adds another blow to the team.
When you talk about the financial implications of this, during the appeal, the Redskins retain the trademark, right? So it's not like other people can start going out and make Redskin shirts all over Washington, D.C.
Exactly. No, that's an important point, because I think if people are going to go out there and start making, you know, beer mugs and T-shirts and baseball caps, they could still face a lawsuit from the team. So that's the reality. The team maintains... First of all, they maintain their trademark until the appeal process is exhausted. But even beyond that, if they lose the appeal process, they still have common right laws. This is what many trademark attorneys explained to me, in which they still own the name until they change it, and they can still take it to court and likely win. So you know, they can still fight for this name.
Really, even without the trademark, they can still go after some guy who wants to make Redskins paraphernalia.
Absolutely. They do lose some of their rights, so it does diminish their power to a certain extent, but there are still common right laws in this country, so they can still wage the fight.
You know, that's interesting, because I would have thought that if they did eventually lose the appeal, and as you say, that's going to take a while to be decided, but I thought that if they lost the appeal, then they would lose the exclusive rights to the use of the name, and then when other people started making merchandise, the other owners of the NFL wouldn't be happy, because they all share merchandise and everything else in the socialistic way the NFL operates, right?
Absolutely. You know, everybody has a stake in sort of the money that the team makes off this merchandise. I mean, the reality is they could take somebody to court and lose as well. I mean, the trademark adds this level of protection that, you know, absolutely makes their fight a little easier in court. So, you know, somebody could start making T-shirts. They could lose that fight because they won't have these trademarks, but they could also win it. So it's still unclear that if they lose the appeal process, which, again, could take years, what could happen. But I think anybody who goes out there and starts making T-shirts at this moment That's probably not the wisest idea.
I can't remember exactly when it was, but I do remember when I was there in the 80s and 90s, some other group of Native Americans tried this, and they weren't successful. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, so this is very similar to a lawsuit that Suzanne Harjo and six other Native Americans launched in 1992. And they were initially successful at this point as well, before the U.S. trademark trial and appeal board. So in 1999, they were successful. So we were at this point before 1999. What happened, though, is it was eventually their case was overturned on an appeal. And that basis was simply that they had sort of waited too long to exhaust their rights, to exercise their rights. So because they lost that suit, then this whole other set of Native Americans then launched a very similar suit. This was a younger group that same basis of appeal wouldn't apply to. That was the hope, at least. So,
gotcha.
So this is a very similar suit to, you know, the evidence and everything that was brought up in court before the appeal board is very similar.
That suit was brought when Jack Kent Cook was the owner of the team, and he famously refused to even talk about it. Daniel Snyder has talked about it only to the point where he said, I will never change the name, and you can put never in caps.
Yes.
Do you think what happened this week changes that at all?
You know, I can't say what Daniel Snyder's thinking. I mean, I will say he hasn't, we spoke to the team's attorney that says they plan to appeal this again, and they plan... they believe they'll win again at this point. So I don't think there's been any talk on their part about, at least publicly, about changing this name. I will say I spoke to Suzanne Harjo, who filed the initial case, and she said, you know, back in 1999 when they were at this stage, they had heard of a young man who was buying the team and wrote him a letter, and they were very optimistic, you know, that he would understand their cause, and that young man was Daniel Snyder, and they, of course, did not hear from him. She said they did not receive a letter back from him, and of course, we know sort of his stance at this point.
You know what interests me about Snyder's response is that he or his attorneys keep saying, "Well, you know what? This is the tradition of the Redskins, and we're honoring Native Americans." Again, because I have some history in Washington, I know that the lyrics to this song were actually changed in the 80s. For about 20 years, starting in 1962, maybe more than 20 years, the lyrics to the song went, "Hail to the Redskins, hail victory, Braves on the warpath, fight for old D.C. And then the lyrics were, "Scalp 'em, swamp 'em, we will take 'em, big score. Read 'em, weep 'em, touchdown, we want heap more. Fight on till you have won, Sons of Washington." Somebody realized in the 80s that that was insensitive, and so that had to be changed, and now the middle is, "Beat 'em, swamp 'em, touchdown, let the point soar, fight on till you have won, Sons of Washington." So there was some racial sensitivity by somebody 30 years ago. That seems to have gone by the wayside in the Snyder regime, though.
Yes, no, and I think there have been other alterations that the team has made, other changes. I believe the cheerleaders used to wear I believe it was a headdress or something of the sort that's been changed over the years as well. So, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Does the NFL, well, first of all, I'm curious what other people in Washington tell you about this. Has the public opinion on this changed? I mean, I know that people in Washington are hardcore Redskins lovers. What do they think about the name?
I will say that that's hard to gauge because there hasn't been a poll we've done in the last year when this has sort of really picked up steam. I will say, you know, judging from my inbox, I receive emails from both sides, you know, people that want to see the name remain and feel that this is, you know, political correctness gone awry. And then I have heard from many Native Americans who say it absolutely is offensive and they absolutely want to see it changed in that and speak about sort of very serious consequences for what it does to Native American children to see this out there, what it does to their self-image. So,
Interesting. Well, I know a California tribe put on an anti-Redskins name ad that ran during the NBA championship series. I think we're going to probably see more of that, and we'll see other groups coming out and protesting against it as well. Thanks so much for helping me summarize the story, Teresa. I appreciate your time.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me.
That's Teresa Vargas of the Washington Post. I'm Paul Harris of America Weekend, every Saturday and Sunday from the Envision Networks. America.